We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
It is officially outside season. It's important to be wearing sunscreen every day, and you want a sunscreen that's not going to make you break out. And we cannot recommend Apostrophe enough.
I've been starting to play grass volleyball outdoors now that it's been getting nice out. I bring it with me. I am almost out of the tube because all of my friends have been using it and loving it.
It's great. It's easy. It's so efficient. It's an online platform. You go on. It connects you to an expert dermatology team and can get you customized acne treatment for your unique skin.
I get my tretinoin through Apostrophe. It's so easy. You can just put it on subscription. So it just immediately comes to you. And they offer prescription treatments for all types of acne, hormonal, facial, even back, chest, and butt acne. And we have a special deal for our audience. You can get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/FMH when you use our code FMH. That's a savings of $15, and this code is only available to our listeners.
To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/FMH and click get started. Then use our code FMH at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. And I'm almost like stubborn about it, where I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna get a non-herpes man just to prove all of you that I don't have to date in this herpes
take
pool
one of yours.
I can get outside of it. Yeah. will-
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Rourke. Rourke, how are you?
I'm good. My mom was here for the weekend, so it was a mother-daughter fest. It was actually a really good visit, and she spent some time with my friend Amy, who she's gotten to know via our time in Dallas, and it was a very, very nice time, and I think that we've like ironed out some of the kinks, I think, on me being able to work while she's there.
Oh,
and
good.
So that's always good. But yeah, so that's what's going on. Lots of dogs. Had his brother in town who has just left. And so if I don't see him this week, he's no longer interested, which is fine. But we'll see.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so.
Well, before we launch into true updates, we have some really exciting news this week.
I know. I'm like nervous.
I'm really nervous. So we've been teasing that we are launching ads and sponsors on the pod, and we have our very first ever sponsor.
I know. Week. Yeah, it's great.
I'm so pumped. I do. So our first ever sponsor on the pod is Sunset Lake CBD. They're a hemp farm that's located just outside of Burlington, Vermont, which, by the way, we have an open invitation to go up and check out this hemp farm if we ever want to.
Done.
I've never been to Vermont. I kind of want to go.
Yeah, let's totally do it.
Yeah. So next time you're able to come to New York, let's coordinate. Let's go to Vermont. Sigh, you're finding out live that we're coming to visit you. Sorry. So backing up a little bit. So they used to be a dairy farm. They produced milk for Ben & Jerry's ice cream, which claim to fame.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. But then a few years ago in 2019, they diversified. They started growing hemp for CBD. And I just – every interaction that we've had with them, I feel like has been so wonderful. They have this farm-to-table approach, and it's, you know, responsibly produced, super high-quality CBD products that actually work.
Yeah. We're going to get into that, but I've been somebody who in the past has been a little suspect about CBD and we'll get into it. We'll get into it, but I'm a convert.
Yeah. So they, first of all, I was shocked at the range of products that they have. So they sent us, you know, the docket of all this stuff they have. And it's like tinctures, salves, gummies, fudge, coffee, just so much stuff to help with sleep, which we know I need help with, which that is what I have been getting help with, stress and aches and I love it so far. What's been your experience?
I've been really into it, especially because so I have a good girlfriend who works in this field. She works in like supplements, CBD, like all that jazz.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she often cautions me about like overtaking melatonin because apparently that's like not so good for your body. And so I have been like really trying to find something else that would work for me to give me that good sound sleep, because as I often joke on this podcast, and I'm headed into it right now, I'm gonna have a 2-week span where like 4 hours of sleep will be like a blessing. And so then on the nights where I can get more, I really need that to be good fucking sleep.
Yeah.
And so I like on the nights where I can like really get sleep, I know that it will give me incredibly deep sleep to use the oils where you just put them under your tongue. They taste delicious. They don't taste oily or weird. I have mint and orange and I'm obsessed. I sleep great.
Agreed. That's been my favorite. They do have one that includes melatonin, and I've been using that I've been very circumspect about how often I'm using it for that same reason that you said, but I've been using it when I actually am so exhausted that I think I'm too exhausted to sleep and therefore need extra help. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, totally. Sometimes it's like when you overshoot your own tiredness and then you're awake again.
Yes. And that – so I used it last night when I came home, which we're going to get into, my weekend in D.C. But I was so fucking tired and I was like, I need to zonk out. And so I did the CBD plus melatonin, but I've just been using the regular drops and love them. And
awesome.
Also really into the coffee. The coffee is very good.
Well, I did not get the coffee, so.
I think when he sent me mine, I think they had just, whatever it's called, roasted those beans.
Yes.
So anywho, very excited. I'm excited to try more products that we're going to talk about over the course of the next several weeks as they are a sponsor. So Sunset Lake CBD. Just an FYI too, all of the products are third-party tested for quality assurance. They ship directly from their farm right to you, which is cool. There's no kind of like third-party shipping situation going on. So you can check them out at sunsetlakecbd.com. And we have a coupon code, which is our first coupon code.
Are we allowed to use our own code?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Done. Because I'm going to need to reorder.
So you can check them out at sunsetlakecbd.com. We have our first coupon code, which is FMH20, FMH20, for 20% off of all products. Sunset Lake CBD, they are farmer-owned, Vermont-grown. I'm so excited they're our first sponsor.
I know, me too. It feels brand right.
It really does. It really does. So off we go into the land of monetization, and it's a fun one so far.
Exactly.
Speaking of fun things, I have a lot of updates this week. Several of which I've actually been keeping from you.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, like fully.
Oh my God.
I have kept a full-on secret from you for the last week or so.
I literally don't even know where to begin. Like, what could it be? Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to start with disco ball stuff or that?
Let's do the surprise.
Okay. So do you recall, I think I've told the story a couple times where I've talked about how Forever 21, when it was open in Union Square, used to be the only store that was open before 9 a.m. that sold like even remotely appropriate clothing for work?
I have not heard that before, but I accept it as true.
Thank you. Okay. So Forever 21 used to open at 8 a.m. in Union Square. And if perchance someone needed an outfit for work unexpectedly in the city, they could procure that outfit at Forever 21 and no other place, basically.
Got it.
So one such time when I actually purchased a sweater that I still wear to this day and people ask me about, I was dating this guy who I truly don't even remember how many dates we went on or how long we dated for. I don't even fully remember the timing, although I think I've ascertained when it was. However, this guy and I matched on Bumble about a week ago.
Okay.
I saw him, I think, a month ago.
In person?
I thought – no, sorry, on Bumble.
Oh.
And I don't remember necessarily swiping right, but I suppose that I did because a week ago we matched. I do remember seeing him. I don't remember the right swipe, but obviously I did it. We matched about a week ago.
Got it.
I sent him a GIF that was fancy seeing you here. I also should mention, I don't remember why we stopped dating.
Got it. Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I am able to ascertain the timing because I remember the office that I was going to after that Forever 21 trip. And based on the office I was going to, I know that it had to have been either the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019. And all of that was prime ASV time.
Got it. Okay.
So the end of 2018 would have been when I was first dating ASV, potentially not exclusively, but then we became exclusive, or right after he tried to ghost me. Very shortly after my dad died, just like a real shitty time all around. Beginning of 2019 would have been when ASV and I were pretending we could be friends with benefits, but in reality entering into a long distance relationship.
Right, exactly. Okay.
So I don't remember why things ended with this dude, but I do know that it was not a good time for me, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And I think I would remember if something like epic had happened or if he'd been like an asshole.
Sure. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Looked up. I don't have our text conversations. I had no – like I went back. I looked up his name. I don't have – I have his number saved, but I don't have any text message history with him. So I was flying blind. So I sent him a GIF and I said, like, fancy seeing you here. He replied and he said, yeah, like something, something. What have you – how have you been besides getting TikTok famous?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, you saw that, did you? And he was like, yeah, like the algorithm knows all. And so my content has been served to him. So he has known that I have this account.
Yeah.
And we were going back and forth. We're kind of catching up. We only went back and forth, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And I was just starting to think like, okay, what's happening here? Are we just catching up? Like, where is this going? And then he said, may I text you instead? So I said, sure, you still – yeah. So I said, you still have my number? And a couple minutes after that, I get a text that says, how would you feel about catching up over drinks next week?
Love the assertiveness.
Mm-hmm. So we are going to drinks on Thursday.
Holy shit, I love it. Wait, is this the comeback kid?
This is the comeback kid.
Okay, where did that appear? Was that in the Discord?
No, I wrote it in the pod updates. I wrote it to myself as a reminder to tell you this story.
There we go. I was like, where did I see that name? And I was like, who the fuck is that?
It was in our Google Doc.
Got it.
So, and I have to give credit to somebody on my TikTok live over the weekend or last week who came up with that name. And we can call him CK for short.
That's a good one.
I was between that and Forever 21. But I went with Comeback Kid.
I love both.
Yeah. Comeback Kid felt like it had more longevity.
Agreed.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to drinks. And I did clarify that it is a date.
Great. Good coverage.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with that on Thursday.
Damn, I love that.
Yeah. So me too. And he will be now – so this will now be the second person that I've been out with who knows about my account going in. As the listeners know, people who follow me on Instagram, I went out with a gentleman from The Matchmaker last week. It was not a match. I'll go into more detail on the Patreon. If anybody wants to tune in there, I will go into plenty of detail next weekend. It's a good story, but
it's salacious, frankly.
Frankly, it is salacious, and yeah, that is why it will be on the Patreon.
Yeah, and like not because it's inappropriate.
No.
It's a plot twist I did not expect.
You and me both, friend.
Yeah.
So yeah, tune into the Patreon if you want to hear that story. But so I'm going into this date with like, he knows about my account. In theory, he knows about my DC trip. Like, he could very well know all of this stuff going into this date.
Oh God, that's true. Gosh, yeah. That's such an interesting problem. Problem is like probably a little too hasty, but it's an interesting position.
Problem. I call it a problem.
I got problems. No. It is an interesting position because then there really is an openness about the fact that you're seeing somebody else that you're excited about. And so, yeah, that's that. I could understand why somebody would be intimidated enough by that to be afraid to go out with you. Yeah. So I, you know, maybe he's looked, maybe he hasn't, but regardless, good on him for,
yeah,
I'm excited about this.
I am too. I'm pumped. At the very least, it'll be fun to catch up. He already remembers more than I do about the time that we dated. He's like mentioned a couple specific dates that we went on that I didn't remember until he said them.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So perhaps he also remembers. It seems that way. So perhaps he also remembers why we stopped dating.
Would you want to investigate that?
Not if it takes a lot of investigation.
Right.
Like, I don't think I would like pepper him with questions about it.
Oh,
but I'd be surprised if our past wasn't like a central point of conversation.
Totally. And I also could see being frank, I could see myself, you know, being two drinks in and being like, okay, what happened?
100% be like, listen, I honestly think I can just level with them and be like, listen, like that was like a really wild time for me. And like, you know, I was definitely going through a lot.
And do you know what that reminds me of is the surfer? What did we call him?
The scientist.
The scientist.
He was a surfer though.
Oh, great. Okay. Where you were honest about what you were going through at that time and acknowledged that you probably didn't handle it the best you could have, but here's an explanation, you know, not an excuse, but an explanation, and I'm sorry.
Yep.
And I'm sure you could do that here, and because you did it gracefully in the past.
I appreciate that. If that's even the case. I mean, for all we know.
Totally. Who knows? We do not know yet.
Yeah. My guess is that it just fizzled for one reason or another. And one of those reasons might have been that I was really into somebody else. And so I just let this other thing fizzle. I'm 90% confident that the scientist is the only person that I straight up ghosted during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like still think about it as somebody that I straight up ghosted. Mm. So yeah. And then I don't have it anymore because I was able to, you know, apologize to him. But
right.
So I don't think that's what happened, but we'll find out on Thursday.
Yeah. All right. And now the disco ball weekend.
So that's exciting. Wait, I have one more thing.
Oh my God.
I have a phone throwing moment.
Okay.
It wasn't mine, but I was involved. So remember I mentioned back around Christmas or Thanksgiving time that the Oysters mom had accidentally texted me instead of his sister-in-law who has the same name as me?
Yes. And you decided not to respond.
I decided not to respond because it was like a very inconsequential text message about pumpkin seeds.
Yep.
And I was like, if other Allie never receives this message about pumpkin seeds, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't respond. That was a mistake. Because several days ago, I ended up trapped on a text message group chat with the Oysters family.
Oh my God, it's like Matt's girl.
Uh-huh.
Who has the Android? Who's the criminal?
I don't know. But I get a text from his mom. His mom initiated this group chat. I get a text from his mom with the Oyster was not on the chain, which was a little bit interesting because I have his number saved still. So I like saw a bunch of area codes of where his family lives, but I know I went and made sure I do have his number. So he was not on the chain.
Mm-hmm.
But his mom sent a bunch of pictures of the Oyster's nieces and nephews to, I assume, the Oyster's brother and possibly dad and who she thought was his brother's wife. And so I am now on this, including me, four-person group chat where they're going back and forth about these pictures.
Have they not figured it out yet?
Well, I said something eventually.
Okay, good. You had to.
I had to. It didn't even take me that long. Like, okay. I basically was just like, oh my God, what's happening? Oh my God. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then like people were then responding.
Yeah.
And then she said,
got to name that family group text instead of recreating it every time.
Honestly. Then she said, weird. I don't think the pictures are going through to Allie. And that was my in to say, hi. This is actually the wrong Allie. Cute photos, though. Hope you've been well.
Amazing. Good, graceful exit. And did it just die? Did it instantly go dark?
She apologized, and then no one responded.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I was just like, oh, my God. Like, is he going to find out? Like, I just so many things ran through my mind, and I just really wish that I had told her about the pumpkin seeds at the time. But I think it's safe to say that I won't be receiving any more errant text messages from
I also Mama don't Oyster. Know that she might have deleted your number, I guess, had you responded to pumpkin seeds. I don't know that it necessarily would have solved this.
You're probably right. But she needs to delete my number.
Yeah. 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 She needs to delete the number.
She needs to delete my number. And I just – the thing that's so weird to me, especially about the pumpkin seed thing, is that she is a primary caretaker of her grandchildren. She communicates with the other Allie all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I just don't know how this mistake has happened this much later and randomly.
Yeah.
When she texts her multiple times a day, from my understanding. Yeah. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. Hopefully it never happens again. But I couldn't believe not only that it happened, but that I ended up trapped in the exact same group text situation that we talked about last week.
I know, that's really fucking funny.
Yeah. I think it's his dad, if I remember correctly, who has an Android.
Put it together.
So anyway, those are my first two updates. And now the disco ball weekend.
Yeah.
So I will hit the high notes. We'll talk more on the Patreon over the weekend, but I am really flying high from this weekend.
Yeah. I know, for better or worse, I feel like my work schedule is pushing people to the Patreon because I'm like, we got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, we're like, no, like, I feel like we're on that like TikTok sound that's like bus, plane, bus, no sleep.
Exactly. I'm like, I love, and I'm like so excited for you, but like, it's the best part.
We got to go. We got to go.
I'm so glad it was such a success.
It was wonderful, and both of us were talking yesterday on Sunday about how it was better than we expected, even though it's not like we expected it to be anything. Like, we couldn't really describe what we meant by that, but it somehow was.
That's so nice. And that you're on the same page. I love that.
Yes, it was super easy. Like, we talked at length at dinner on Saturday night about this and the pod and my Instagram and my TikTok. I gave him the handle. I told him his nickname. I like filmed the date while he was sitting there at the table. Like, no pun intended, I put everything out on the table.
Yeah.
And he was into it. He was so supportive and like the exact reaction that I would have wanted.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And like, I just feel very... He put it really well, actually. So yesterday we took his dog down to like the National Mall. We were sitting out in the sun or whatever, and we were talking about how it had been a great weekend. And he said, about how it had been better than expected. And he was like, yeah, you know, because I said, I was like, in hindsight, it was like kind of risky to come and spend more than 24 hours with somebody that I've met twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did have the safety net of my friend, but still. And he was like, yeah, but like you can kind of like hypothetically play out like what the vibe might feel like with someone. And I think that played out exactly how I thought.
That's what
he said.
That's so cute.
And I feel like that's how I feel about the situation in general, where I'm definitely not getting ahead of myself. We've got a long road ahead of us also in terms of like, he doesn't move here until July.
Yeah.
And then like, what does that look like? I told him it worries me a little that, you know, you're moving to New York, you're single.
I was actually just going to ask that this entails a little bit of mind reading, and I'm in part asking you because we're on a podcast where we discuss these things, but it sounds like you have had this thought. I know a thought that I would have is he going to want to move to a big new city and date around?
I asked him that. Well, I didn't quite ask him that because I don't know if he can know that yet.
Sure.
But I told him that it's something that worries me.
Yeah.
That he's going to want to have like a hot disco ball summer.
Totally.
And he was like, yeah, that's totally understandable, you know, but we kind of talked about it and both of us agree that being in a relationship is the ultimate goal for both of us. And that we're like really enjoying getting to know one another and seeing how that progresses at the rate that it's developing. And like, I feel confident that he at least isn't going into New York thinking that. Like, yeah. Oh, I definitely want to, you know, sow my oats.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, the way he's acting is certainly open-minded towards building something.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's really kind. And I think that if he did decide that that's more what his vibe needs to be, that he would be really direct and kind about that. And I trust him that that's not where his mind is at right now.
Perfect. That's great.
So, yeah, it's good. And I think I'm going to go back next weekend.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were free this weekend.
So it's not confirmed yet, but not this coming weekend. So I'm playing in volleyball tournaments both of the next weekends. However, this weekend is Saturday, but next weekend is Sunday. Oh. And so I said to him, I was like, my volleyball tournament in 2 weeks is on Sunday. So like, maybe I was like, I could come down for a night. And then he was like, well, do you have to go into the office or could you work remotely? And I realized, no, I could work remotely.
You totally work remote.
Yeah. And so now we're kind of – he has to confirm like on his end. We're chatting about it today, but we're talking about potentially me going down on a Thursday and then coming back here Saturday so that I can play Sunday.
Gotcha. Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah. So we'll see if that works out. I'm not, you know, pinning my hopes and dreams on it.
Sure. But that would be so nice.
Yeah. It would be so nice. And, you know, I'm optimistic. And I almost said cautiously optimistic, but I'm not even cautious about it. I'm just optimistic, feeling really good.
That's lovely. Yay.
Yay.
People can't see it, but I'm like doing a little happy dance.
Happy dance. Yeah. It feels good to feel good.
Totally. I mean, yeah.
So whether or not this, you know, eventually turns into something or not, like I really am liking how this feels and gonna lean into that.
As you should.
Yeah.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yes. So funnily enough, and we will talk to her about this probably, but funnily enough, our guest is Erica Spera, who is a hilarious stand-up comedian. She is a podcast host as well. She hosts a podcast called Shooters Gotta Shoot. And they are how we got connected with Sunset Lake CBD, which we'll talk to her about.
It's like we planned it, but we genuinely didn't.
Genuinely didn't. It just happened to work out that our contract with them started on the day she was guesting. So Erica and I connected a while back. I was on her podcast back in January, and we started talking about her coming on ours. And a topic that has come up a lot consistently when we do our grab bags, when we do AMAs, all of those things are – people have a lot of questions about dating as it relates to STDs, STIs, you know, sexual health in general. Mm-hmm. And Erica has herpes. She's very public about her herpes diagnosis as well as kind of how that's impacted her dating life. And so I thought it would be a great topic for us to talk to her about.
Yeah, perfect. All right.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast, they have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I am all about embracing my natural hair texture, and Pros products that are customized hair care have really been helping me with that.
There's nothing quite like finding the right products for your hair that not only make your hair look its best, but also make it the easiest to do it and the easiest to get it there.
It's also really cool that they can customize it so much, like based on your zip code, the type of water you have, what goal you have. So like I could put in that I have a frizz control goal, which nothing has really been able to tame my frizz, and Pros is really doing a good job of it.
Yes,
so
there's nothing like getting something that is uniquely for you and also freshly made. It's like all these other products, if you buy over the counter, you don't know how long it's been sitting there, sitting in a warehouse. You get a custom hair care. It's made to order.
And Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/FMH.
So you'll get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH. So something that I have started incorporating into my daily routine is our new sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and specifically taking their Hormone Harmony. It is plant-based, it is nature-inspired, and it is herbal. I'm a little conscious. So I want to make sure I know what am I putting in my body. I want to be taking the right type of things. They have got it down at Happy Mammoth.
Yeah, they're really dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They really make no compromise when it comes to quality. I have really been appreciating it for when I'm feeling like a little off or down around that time of the month. Because I have an IUD, I don't get a period. So it often surprises me when I'm at that time of the month. And this has really helped level me out in those times.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to manage PMS, their estro control specifically. It also is helpful if you're going through menopause or premenopause as well.
So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use our code FMH at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FMH for 15% off today.
So Erica, you know I love a fancy drink, and something that's been really helping me to do that without consuming more alcohol than I want to is Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails. They're 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and honestly taste just like your favorite cocktails, but without the alcohol.
I like to have a few things in my fridge that give me a little bit of flavor, and their flavors are amazing. They have the lime, margarita, grapefruit, paloma, ginger lime, mule, watermelon, mojito. One of those has to sound good to you. I think they're all great.
My personal favorite is the watermelon mojito. That one is so good. I recently had a few people over and pulled them out of my fridge. They had never tried them before. They're now hooked. They've ordered Recess mocktails. We're spreading the word.
I'm not a day drinker, but I want to go for the hang. And it's the perfect thing to bring to those scenarios that you're like, I'm here, I'm having fun, I got something in my hand. But if you're not a day drinker like me, then a Recess mocktail might be perfect for you.
You can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. So without further ado, let's chat with Erica. Back with Erica. Hi, Erica. Welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And so you're like a pal of Allie's, right? Are you do you guys meet via podcast, or what's the backstory?
Yeah, we are podcast friends, essentially. We had Allie on our show, and then randomly I hit up Allie one night or something, and we were just talking, and I was like, actually, why don't you just get a drink and talk there? And we moved off the app to real life as we
so
tried
cute.
To do
I
and
love
dating.
It.
Yeah.
We like
yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, it was an internet friend meetup. We were talking about that the other day that like I, as you know, Rourke, I am like not that open to new friends often. Like friendships just take take emotional bandwidth. Like good friendships, like friendships that you're going to like put time into. And so I just like tend to not try to cultivate new ones And I was like, you know what? I like this girl. We're going to get drinks. We're going to do it. And then now we're friends.
Love. Yeah. I'm getting more into like cabined friendships a little bit, which I think men on the whole are generally better at than women. Like I have guy friends who can say, that's my tennis friend. That's my video game friend. Mm. Whereas women are like, she's my everything friend. I need to talk to her about work, personal life, shit talk, other friends, my family, and like all the shit. And it's like, I'm trying to get better about being okay with friends' limitations and enjoying them for like what they are. Anyway, this is not the topic. I'm sorry. Like,
also, not to say that you and my friendship has limitations. But I'm totally with you.
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that. I'm speaking about myself. About myself.
I'm totally with you, though. I think like one of the things that I think that the pandemic did away with, at least for me, is acquaintances. Like I no longer have acquaintances that like I run into places or like I guess maybe some volleyball people, and Erica probably for you in the comedy scene, but like it's very different. Like there's more like deliberate hangs versus larger group, like, oh, run into this person kind of thing. At least for me.
Yeah, I think the pandemic just showed who your real friends are. It's like sad in a way that you're like, man, I thought I had so many friends. And then you realize like, okay, these are the people that I actually talk to if I never ran into them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, like the people that I like choose to maintain a friendship with. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is not the topic. as we are wont to do, we have ventured off course. So we are going to kick things off with Weird or Nah, which is also fully unrelated to the topic this week. And this week's Weird or Nah is, I'm going to make sure I read this properly because some of the people's explanations had to do with the exact verbiage that I used when I wrote this. And that is, and that is, they offer to send an Uber to pick you up and bring you to the date. Is that weird or not?
Do you want to go?
Who wants to throw out a guess?
I mean, I say it's weird just because it's never happened to me.
Same.
I've never had someone even offer that. So it's like, it would just feel weird because it's truly out of the ordinary. I have had people offer to send an Uber or cab home, however, after the date.
Yes, I've had that too.
Right. I think that is far less weird, which is why I wanted it to be to the date. Mm-hmm. Because I think that something that doesn't happen anymore is let me pick you up for a first date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing. And I'm very pro that not being a thing, given I do not want to get in an enclosed vehicle with you.
Nope.
My friend Matt actually got in an Uber to go on a first date. I think actually he was in the Uber and they picked her up along the way and then got in a car accident. Anyway, that was unfortunate.
So wait, they met for the very first time? They met for the very first time in an Uber?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I think this is weird and I also think I'm against it because I would want some proof that it was actually Uber. And like, I don't know. I would want like a screenshot. It would just like feel a little weird to me where I'm getting a little too, and I'm not actually an overly suspicious person and I probably could be more careful in life, but I think that this feels a little true crimey where it's like, I thought he was the chivalrous gentleman and he actually sent a friend in a set, like he had a co-conspirator and they took me away. You know, it's like I'm being crazy about it. So that's why I feel like it's weird.
So what do you think the split is though?
I mean, I'd 60 say
60 weird, 40 not weird.
60, 40.
Sorry, Erica.
Oh, no. I would say like 90% said it's weird. I think most people think it's weird, quote unquote, more of for like safety reasons. But I'd say a high percent. I'd say 90. I'm gonna go 90. Say weird.
So that you're crazy, but I respect it.
I was truly floored by the response to this. The response is 45 weird, 55 nah. It is less That's weird crazy. Than nah, which is wild.
Wow.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
Does that imply people, like, I'm reading into a question we didn't ask, but does that imply that people want this?
I guess, yeah. Like, somebody, I just opened up the responses and somebody said, I think this is really nice. But the
true. I mean, honestly, if a dude asked me up front, a little part of me would go, ooh, like, oh, he wants to send a car for me. And then the second half of my brain goes, safety. You don't know this man, especially if it's someone from online.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ooh, shouldn't give my address or even like near where I live. That then I'd be
totally
like,
totally agreed.
Yeah. And that was, it was a very vocal minority. The people that said weird to a person were like, he doesn't get my address or they don't get my address. Like, no, sir. Interestingly, yeah. And this is why the verbiage mattered. We didn't say first date. We just said date.
True.
So there were a significant number of people who said, if it's not a first date, then no, that's fine. Like, then nah.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is a first, so they were like, that was like the contingency. So if you already know them, then it becomes
understood. I think that's fair.
That's weird. But yeah, no one's ever offered or suggested this ever.
I've had the offer of, I'll pick you up. In the alternative, I'll send an Uber. And I said, neither. I will get myself there.
None of the above.
Yeah.
I don't even think anyone's ever offered to pick me up, but I also have only ever dated in New York. So like the number of people that I've dated with a car. Yeah. Like just minuscule number of people.
I like to have an exit strategy. I like to know that I can get out.
Yep.
That's why I always bring cash on a date, actually. I'm like prepared if I am in a bad situation, I just go, all right, this is for me. Thanks. And I leave. Like I'll just drop a 20 on the table. I don't care if it's more money than I'm supposed to pay. I'm like, here you go. This is $20 for me to leave.
This is me paying for my exit.
Good for you.
That's, yeah. That's not
I'm
a
paying
bad
the
strategy.
Toll, you know?
That's not a bad Literally. Strategy.
I do have a male friend that has done this move for first dates, sending girls a car. And no one ever opposed to it.
Damn.
Huh. And it was seen as like just this super chivalrous, like, wow, kind of thing. And he stopped doing it just because it was expensive to keep doing it.
That'll add up.
Yeah, but he not once had someone being like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Like every single person did take him up on it. And he dates in New York. So very interesting.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of how I would react. I think I would say yes. But I also think that I would not give him my address, that I would give him like some sort of landmark.
You've got to do like a restaurant nearby or like a corner.
Yeah. And I might even say like, oh, I'll be in this area. You can have it pick me up there. And then I would absolutely be checking, like, you know, getting in the car. Let me see the app that you have open, driver. Like, let me make sure that this is, you know. A hired car.
And this to me at that point, the juice is not worth the squeeze. I'll fucking get let go. It's fine.
True.
Like we just described such a deeply layered process that it is not worth it.
Yeah. If you have to try that hard to make sure you're not going to get kidnapped, then you like probably shouldn't do the thing.
Yeah.
It's true.
Probably not.
But anyway,
we digress. So Erica, we are here to chat with you about dating and STDs. So as we mentioned, I was on your podcast, Shooters Gotta Shoot. Was that January? When was that?
It was a little while ago. Yeah.
I know it was when I was home. I was home at my mom's house. And coming out of that, we talked about how you are public about the fact that you have herpes and you are actively dating and, you know, kind of what that has looked like for you. And so would love to kind of kick things off with, you know, your origin story, if you will, of, you know, how did you come to talk about this and, you know, tell us more.
Yeah, definitely. So I got herpes. It'll be almost 6 years ago now. And when I first got it, I really struggled with talking about it, mainly because you get it and your brain goes, who do I know that has this? And you know nobody personally. Mm.
But yet you know a ton of people.
Yeah.
You do.
Statistically, right?
You do. But you don't know. No. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like the most I knew about it was like hearing rumors of like celebrities having it was it.
Yeah.
Like, I never once heard one person just be like, oh, yeah, I have herpes, except for like two other comedians I knew that had jokes about it. That was it. but I wasn't close to them. I didn't know them. And there's this whole thing of like, if you're suddenly asking someone about their herpes, it's like, so you have it? Like, why are you so curious? You're just outing yourself. And so for a very long time, I talked to nobody about it, really, except for like one or two friends. I did go to therapy for a little bit, but I didn't feel it like helped me accept it, I guess. So you feel very like isolated and alone. And my best friend actually found this like support group kind of therapy. And it was just all women. It was like 12 women. And she sent me the link. It was like a meetup group. And she was like, I think you should check this out because I feel like I can't help you when you talk to me about it. And maybe you'd feel better just meeting other people that have it. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the first one I went to. And I just felt like so relieved to just walk in a room and be like, oh, these are 12 smart, normal women that are just like me that also have this thing. Because
that's awesome.
Unfortunately, there's a stigma to it. You know, like I only knew one girl in college that was rumored to have it. And she had the reputation of being very promiscuous. So it like didn't help that stigma either of just like, oh, well, you know, like if I had to guess, I would guess that person, right? We make those judgments, even though they're not always right. So then essentially the group I was going to was very expensive and I made a couple close friends and we started just like having happy hour once a month and catching up and just being each other's support. And that really changed, changed my life with dealing with it. I just felt so much more comfortable that I had three people in a group chat that we could just talk herpes all we want. And then essentially I actually started my own support group that was just free because I was like, well, it's so expensive. And the three of us were like, well, we could make one and see who else just wants to join because none of us could afford the other one, but we loved going. Mm-hmm. And we made it co-ed and it's grown. God, I probably have like almost 3,000 emails between like the meetup group I run and people that have just emailed me about it. And it's very just, I just had it and I also wasn't public about it yet. So I just like anonymously made a fake name, a meetup group and like an Eventbrite and people were finding me like crazy. And I never once, right, like, you know, we have podcasts. We try to be like, hey, listen to my podcast. Hey, like, promote whatever you have. Yeah. And I wasn't promoting this at all. And I was getting hundreds and hundreds of people finding me and contacting me.
That's incredible.
So that, I mean, that shows you how much of like an untapped thing this was, that people were searching and searching for support.
Yeah, very much so. And it was similar to what my friend did for me. She just started Googling herpes stuff and found this group. And then forwarded it my way. And I'm like so thankful that she found it. Because a lot of times when you Google it, you just find a ton of information. Or you find essentially things that are like kind of just trying to take your money.
Yeah.
like the specific online dating sites that are for STIs like herpes or HIV. Which, you know, no shade to those sites if that's what you want to do. But it's very hard to find something where you're just like, just where are the people that are like me? Because it's so isolating when you get it. You just feel very like, who has this? And then your doctor says, everybody has it. And you look at the doctor like, okay, well, do you have it? And they're like, no, I'm a doctor. that's what it feels like. You're just like, okay, well, can you point me in the direction of the people? Where are the people? Where is everybody else that has it? So essentially, the group kind of inspired me to come out about it publicly, both like in my comedy that I do and then also just with starting the podcast. I was like, yeah, this is an untapped market and all the people I ever heard say that they had it were always in a relationship. It was never anyone that was single because it's almost like, oh, it's okay that I have it now because I won. Like I have someone that has sex with me, so I have no problem saying now that I have herpes now that I have a husband. And I was like, okay, well, where are the single women going through the process of having to disclose to people and get essentially rejected? And no one was ever talking about that. It was more this like rah-rah cheerleader, like, you could do it. I did it.
You're like, okay, but I'm trying to do it. Where are the other people who are trying to do it?
Exactly. Yeah. And my personality is not rah-rah cheerleader. I'm like, kind of like Allie, where it's like I'm an athlete like sport player, you know, that it's like I was playing the sport, I wasn't, you know, the cheerleading personality more on the sideline. So I was like, okay,
no worries,
maybe
I
should try. Yeah, I don't. I'm like, is that enough information? I don't know exactly what people want to know. I just feel like I talked a little too long.
Yeah, no, that was great. Thank you.
That's kind of why I came out about it. I just was like, you know what? This has like been still weighing on me for years. Like, I didn't tell my family. A lot of my close friends still didn't know. And it is kind of like coming out of the closet in a way of like, there'd be so many times I'd hear people talking about herpes incorrectly and false facts. And you sit there being like, well, if I'm about to go to bat for herpes, everyone's going to know I have it. And I would have that play dumb thing of like, I don't think that's true, actually, but like, wouldn't want to just claim it. Yeah. But people talk about it in the sense of like how people used to talk about, or people, some people still talk about like being gay. It's like this, oh my God, like, I can't believe it, or I would never. And you're like sitting there being like, well, I'm that thing that you're talking about, and you have no idea that I am. Or my personality, or even just, I don't know, I guess you could say level of promiscuity. When I came out to so many friends, they were like, no, you? They're like, how did you get it? I'm like, the same way everybody by gets it. I have sex
with
sometimes.
The person who did. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. What do you think, like, you mentioned those conversations where people are kind of talking about misinformation. Like, what has that looked like?
Oh, well, the number one misinformation I'd say is people assume if you sleep with someone that has herpes, you get herpes, period.
That is definitely not true.
Yeah.
I can confirm
definitely that. Not true. But people think of it like every other STI because it's just grouped with your STI class in high school.
Right.
And it isn't like chlamydia. Like if you sleep with someone that has chlamydia with no condom, you will get chlamydia.
Yep.
Herpes relatable. Is not like that at all. It's not transmitted in the same way. it's actually a skin condition. So condoms actually don't protect you that much from herpes.
Right.
Which scares people, but it's the truth.
It's the facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the facts. Take it from someone that used condoms always, still got it. So that's probably the number one myth. The second myth I'd say for women specifically is people think you either can't have children or that your children will automatically have herpes.
Oh, really?
Which is,
I'm shocked by that. I would not have thought of that as, wow.
Yeah, I've had many people assume that. Or, you know, they're just like, oh, wow, so if you have kids, they have it. And I'm like, again, it's not, you know, that's a comparison to like HIV and AIDS.
Right, right.
But it's a skin condition. And so it's like, hey, if you don't have an outbreak and you have childbirth, your child will not have it. And if you have an outbreak, you just will have to have a C-section to avoid it.
Right.
But it's very easily avoidable. You can just take the Valtrex while you're pregnant and near your due date, and you'll be fine. I'd say those are the top two myths that I've personally heard and misinformation. And then, oh, actually, the third would be that cold sores are not herpes, and they are. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And everybody always goes, no, I don't have herpes, I have cold sores. And I'm like, well, I have cold sores on my vagina. Like, if we both took a blood test, it would be the same thing, HSV-1. And that's where it gets confusing, is even like in the medical field, they'll call it oral herpes. But oral or genital, which is HSV-2, they really should get rid of that, because you can get either kind in either place. It's just more common that type 1 is on your mouth. But now recent studies have shown type 1, it's pretty like 50-50 split of on your mouth or on your genital area.
I was going to ask, Allie, have you dated somebody before who disclosed to you that they had herpes?
No, but I have a close friend who has herpes.
Got it. It's his story. I don't even want to use his nickname because I do know people that listen that know who this person is. And so I don't want to, like, it's his story to tell. I have one of my boyfriends that I talk about on this, or ex-boyfriends that I talk about on this podcast, is somebody who has herpes. And I remember him being like very nervous to share that with me. I think he thought that I was going to break up with him over it. And I did not. And I think we dated through a series of like also like stressful times. And so he had more frequent outbreaks, I think, than he even had in the past. And he was like embarrassed about that, where he was like, this doesn't happen so often. I'm so sorry. And he would often like get very afraid to kiss me and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's that's why some advice I tell people is like, as great as it is to have like the antiviral meds that, you know, just keep it more likely that you won't have an outbreak. A lot of times I tell people like, hey, if you don't have a consistent partner, get off of them completely and find out what triggers your outbreaks. Like I know actually Ella Dawson, she's has a great TED talk about herpes. Her trigger is if she doesn't get a lot of sleep.
Oh.
Like she's just like, yep, if I'm traveling a lot, not sleeping well, like she's like, all of a sudden I'll feel it coming on. And then there it is. And other people, it's stress. Some people, it's certain foods can trigger a little bit. Yeah, there's, I'm going to mess up the saying this. There's a list of foods. It's like L-Y-C-O-T-A-I-N, lycopene, something like that. It's a category of foods and it's random stuff like walnuts that there's a group. If you look it up, I know people that actively have just avoid this like group of five different foods and that helps them avoid outbreaks. So it's like, you have to figure out what it is for you. Like I'm someone that really doesn't take a daily med and I'm lucky that I really don't get outbreaks. And there's only been two times I was like, oh, I feel like something just feels off. And so then I took them for a few days. Or if I am about to have a new partner, I'll start taking them again as just a precaution.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is very easy to not transmit it. The problem is actually people that transmit it are the people that don't know they have it.
Right.
And like the person that gave it to me, that's how they found out that they had it.
It's because you
and
found out?
A lot of men don't get. He found out because I all of a sudden had an outbreak. And I was like, hey, you're the only person I slept with in a year. Can you please go get tested? I think this is from you. And he had no idea at all. And he never had an outbreak still. So he was like, he could have had it orally as a child and never knew. Or he could have it genitally and just never showed signs. So, yeah. So it's like very, my situation was a very short end of the stick situation, but a lot of men don't get routine testing because they don't have a yearly appointment like we do. But even women that have the yearly appointment, you often have to ask for a herpes test specifically.
I was about to say, that's something that I've learned very recently in life is that it is not often part of the standard STI panel. You have to ask.
It's not. If you're not getting blood drawn, it's not included. So if you sign up for an HIV test, it will be in the panel. But if you're not getting blood drawn, you're not getting tested for herpes. And the reason they don't test for it is because it really doesn't affect your health negatively at all.
Yeah. I was doing
it would be included.
Yeah. I was doing like a little bit of research in preparation for this. And when I was reading about that, there were like, I was reading a couple articles about why it's not included. And to your point, like it doesn't really affect your health at all. And then it's like, well, but like, wouldn't there were, you know, the counter argument to that would be, well, wouldn't you just want people to know? And then as I was reading on, it was saying, well, where it does affect your health is your mental health. And so like the negatives of that, because it's something that doesn't affect somebody's physical health at all, that's like one of the reasons why a lot of doctors don't do that test for it.
Oh, 100%. And like, Rourke, when you dated that person, did you soon go to your doctor and just go, hey, can I get a herpes test? Because I've been seeing someone that has it. And I'm curious.
Yeah, like, just at my next, you know, pap or whatever. So I'm very fortunate that my general practitioner also has like whatever OBGYN licensing you need to also do PAPs. So they would always like take my blood and like take an extra vial for that.
Yeah. But what's interesting though is like I've had many friends like either just hook up with someone that has herpes or date someone and then go to their doctor and just be like, hey, can I have a herpes test? Because I've been with someone that has it and just, you know, to see, did I get it? And so many doctors will be like, yeah, you'd rather not. Like they brush it off and they're like, you'd rather just not know.
Is an anxiety ridden alarmist to a point where like, I'm actually thinking about getting a new doctor.
Oh, no.
And like, she's made me freak out about stuff that then came to be like totally nothing. And so,
wow,
we're working through our relationship problems, me and my doctor.
It's like those friends where you're like, I can't hang out with you. Because this makes both our anxiety worse that we can't talk about.
So she's like, well, we should do this, 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 and this, and this, and like, did it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway. But to the end of my boyfriend of the time being afraid to tell me that this was something he lived with. I think that is probably the number one question people are most interested in. And I think it takes kind of two avenues. One, how do you talk about it in the context of moving towards a relationship? And how do you talk about it in the context of casual sex or dating?
That's a great question.
And is it different?
It really isn't different. It feels different, though, because it's like either way, casual or relationship, when you're first telling people, your number one thing in your head is like, well, they're probably going to have to like be in love with me to be okay with this thing. And really, a lot of times it's just like a lack of education. That's the beauty of getting older. I've had it since I was 25 and I'm almost 31. And now that I'm dating people that are older, it's like they're just more knowledgeable and more experienced, that often they've already had someone disclose or they just know someone that has talked about it. But the spiel really is the same. And the hard part, especially like I got it young, 25, you feel like I don't have the casual sex option anymore, which is not true at all, but it feels that way because you just have that pressure of like, God, they gotta like be in love with me. They have to think I'm like the hottest person in the world, like to be okay with this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So essentially, the hard part about this advice is like, it comes with practice, and I know nobody really wants to hear that. But that's why I'm like, you gotta tell people that aren't people you're even about to date or sleep with just to get the practice in, whether it's a therapist, a couple friends, family, like clearly people you trust, because it's hard. My first couple times telling people, it did not go well. I didn't tell them well. I didn't have any confidence about it because you're just terrified. And truly, though, I've never had anyone react negatively, though, even those times that they didn't sleep with me, whether it be casual or relationship, because it's like out the gate, most people are just like, wow, thank you for telling me, because you could have not told me.
Right.
Yeah. Like most people don't ask any STI questions before having sex with people. and I'd say you have to have confidence about it. And that's hard to just say because everyone's like, well, how do you have confidence? But I'd say put a little spiel together and figure out how you want to tell people. I tell people in person. I've known other people that prefer on the phone or via text, especially text. You're not putting that person's like reaction so on the table and right in front of you that it might be better for both of you. And I say try to keep it as short as you can. Keep it very factual, very short and sweet, and try to have a little enthusiasm of like, hey, I'm telling you this thing because like I want to have sex with you.
Like this is like, exciting.
That's exciting. Yeah. Like you might get your dick sucked. Like that's what you need to think in your head. It's like, like we're both about to get laid. What a time. You know? Like you should almost like pump yourself up that way of just like, we are about to have sex.
Like we're gonna have this talk, and the reason we're gonna have this talk is because
yeah. Like you typically don't bring it up unless you're thinking of having sex with that person.
True.
Yeah, there's no need for it otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and so my spiel that I kind of do now is just usually like, hey, like, just so you know, like there's something I need to tell you because I feel like this is gonna like move to next steps. But I just say like, you know, just so you know, I have herpes. I say I have HSV-1 because it cushions the blow. Because first people are like, HSV-1? And I go, I have HSV-1, which is like herpes. It's the same thing as cold sores. I've had it for this long. I never really have outbreaks. I've never given it to a partner. And I take meds that helps prevent that. And then I'm like, I just feel like you should know. Because although the chances are very, very low, there's always a chance. And I just figured I should share that with you because I feel like we might be hooking up soon. And that's kind of what I leave it at. And I usually wrap it up being like, if you have questions for me, I'm happy to take them. But I encourage people to ask their doctor because I feel like it's very reassuring just to come from whatever medical professional that they trust.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, obviously I could sit here and go, yeah, herpes, no big deal. But like a doctor saying that to you just holds more weight in most people's minds.
What's the range of reactions that you've gotten?
Okay, my best reaction I ever got was I told the guy, we were like on like a third date out to dinner and something came up. I think it was like a joke about it. And I told him, I was like, oh, well, I actually have herpes. And he just laughed and he was like, your herpes doesn't scare me.
Nice.
And I was like, all right,
cool.
I guess that's
like, I will
that's
take down you and your herpes.
Yeah. Which, God, I've learned in my years, it's like, yeah, if I just say that I have herpes thing and the person's like, oh, yeah, I have friends that have it. Like, you know, they don't really want any more information. I don't give more information.
Right. I mean, if they seem to have all the like information that they need.
Yeah. If they're just like, oh, yeah, I have a friend that has that. I know it's not a big deal. It's like, wrap it up. I'm not bringing this up again.
Great.
I did my job. There you go. Yeah, I did have one person. We did not have sex, but we fooled around a little bit. And this was actually during COVID times of like, it was the summer before the vaccine summer. Mm. And it was like a couple dates and then we just like messed around a little bit and then I left and he looked up my podcast and my stuff and saw that I had herpes. And then he responded by, he all of a sudden sent me a text because he went to a wedding that weekend and he was like, hey, I was at the wedding. A bunch of people got COVID, like, you know, I don't know, like all this stuff. And he kind of gave me like a COVID scare. And so I just was like, okay, man, because I saw him the day after the wedding. I was like, okay. I was like, I'll go get a test. Like, let me know how your test comes back. Like, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So I go, I wait in line for like hours. I get my test, all that stuff. And then I didn't hear from him. I follow up like, hey, I got my test. I'm negative. Like, are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't say anything. And I was like, okay. And I was just like a little bummed of like, all right, I don't know why I'm getting ghosted, but sure. And then I was like, all right, let me just follow up one more time. I'm just like, hey, I feel like you're not feeling this anymore. Like, just curious, like, did anything happen? And also curious, do you have COVID? Because if you do, I maybe should get another test and make sure I'm not around people.
Right.
And then he responded and he sent me this very long, nasty text that was like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like, I can't believe you didn't tell me and blah, blah, blah. And this whole thing. And the thing is, though, it truly did not bother me because it was so like coming at me so hard.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is clearly very uneducated. And also, I was like, we did not have sex or do anything that actually would put you at risk for herpes. So I didn't have to say shit. Technically, you never have to say shit. So it's like, all right, man. I'm like, I knew I told you about my podcast. I kind of was like, yeah, go look it up. I don't care. Like, find out that way. And it was just one of those messages. Like, he got all of it. And then I went to reply and he immediately blocked me. And I just was like,
oh, man.
Okay, this is just, you just wanted to attack me and get back at me and try to give me a COVID scare. Thinking that's, I guess, the equivalent. When I was like, I mean, it's not, but sure, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it was something, though, that I was like, thank God this happened like 4 years into having herpes, because I just was so like, I just shrugged and was like, I mean, this dude. And anyone I showed the message to was just like, this is a spiteful person.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to be a spiteful person like that? I was like, no. I'm like, I barely know this person. And they're not being an adult of like, yeah, if you found that out and we're freaking out, talk to me. Like, contact me about it. Don't give me a COVID scare to get back at me.
Right. So say like, hey, I found this out and I'm kind of freaked out. And then to give you the opportunity to say like, oh, well, we hadn't gotten to that part where that would have mattered. And of course I would.
Yeah.
Have
like
something.
That was my text back. I was explaining. I was like, hey, I didn't put you at risk. We didn't physically do anything that would have you get it. And then I was like, by the way, you might already have it. I don't know if you've ever been tested. Like, that might not even be my fault. But the majority of the reactions really are just people saying like, oh, wow, thanks for telling me. And if anything, I feel like people are hesitant to ask questions. So that's something that I had someone ask me once. It was like, okay, I don't have herpes. What if someone discloses to me? What should I ask? And I'm like, first,
yeah.
Yeah, like I'm like, first, just thank them. Be like, wow, thank you for telling me. I know that's not easy to tell people. And then, you know, say I know a little about it, but my questions would be, how long ago did you get it? And how often do you have outbreaks? And do you take medication? And that's kind of it. They're not invasive questions. Because the longer you have it, the less likely you are to transmit to people. It's like less active in your system.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But those are like three very reasonable questions to ask.
It sounds like you're generally disclosing like well before the like sex scenario. Like you're not like in the moment, maybe sometimes if it's like
yes and no
spontaneous, but like the dinner, the like third date dinner that you brought up, like that you're not like,
yeah,
it's not happening in the moment.
Oh, well, I mean, personally, when I first was disclosing to people the first year that I had it, it always was like private in a bedroom in the heat of a makeout, clothes coming off. All of a sudden I like stop the roll.
Yeah.
And it was because I kind of was putting myself in the situation being like, okay, well, you have to say something now.
Right.
Like you just be like in your head.
Yeah. Force your own hand.
Yeah. Like I basically was backing myself into a corner. And personally, I found that never worked. And I think it was a combo of me not being super comfortable about it, but also like I date men and it's like you're essentially telling someone when they have like boner brain that can go one or two ways of either they have boner brain, they go, whatever, I'm hard, who cares? And then the next day they're like, what did I do? I shouldn't have slept with this person. They have like they're having regret, which you don't want.
Yeah.
But usually it's just like kind of a mind fuck of being in the like, you know, the train's moving and then you halt a train mm-hmm. and it's not fun for you or the other person.
Yeah.
So essentially, yeah, I did it for my own protection of like, it's not fun to be rejected when you're naked telling someone about to have sex with them and they suddenly change their mind.
Yeah.
Cause you're essentially telling someone a reason to not sleep with you. It's like with relationship advice, it's like, oh, what you should believe from people is when they tell you something that them telling you might make you not want to date them. Like, that's when people are being honest, when they're true. Opening up about whatever in their life. Yeah, that's my advice. I was like, I would not tell people right in the heat of the moment. Like, it's almost like give them a second to process it. But also, you're telling them in a moment that they are basically going to say yes or no. There's like, whether you have sex or not is kind of your yes or no. Whereas right. like, yeah, if you told yeah. them at dinner, it's kind of an easy transition of like, okay, let's see if we go on another date and just give them a minute to think about it and do some research or talk to a doctor or whatever they want to do.
Right. So then it's like, if you don't end up having sex, it's not like a very clear binary of like, this is the reason. Because there are yeah, like a million exactly. reasons why you wouldn't end up getting to that point with someone from a date.
Right. Yeah, totally. It's like now that I'm public about it, sometimes I don't really have the choice that people can look me up and find it out. But I've found that most men don't really Google you. So they're not really afraid of getting murdered, so they're not worried about that part.
That's interesting, though, that transitioning to people kind of already maybe knowing going in.
Oh, for me?
For you, like, what's yeah, it like now? To have to kind of deal with that.
To be honest, a lot of them still don't, that it's still like me disclosing to them when I decide to. But I have had a few people, especially with online, I have that I do comedy. So if you look up my comedy, you'll find me on podcasts talking about herpes. And, I have had a couple people that like, I was excited to meet up with for a date, say to me like, oh, I, actually saw that you have herpes. Is that true? Or is that like a joke? And I'm like, no, it's true. And this is like through text, someone I've never met. And I had two people that I was really excited to go out with. Then be kind of all weird about going out, and I ended up never going out with them. And it's an unfortunate truth of being public, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, that guy probably wasn't gonna be cool about it, even if we did go on a date and another date, and then I told him.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when it's very clear, like, they didn't go look up anything about it. They just were like, oh, you have herpes? I don't know if I could do that. And I'm like, all right, well, it's very common. You've probably already slept with someone that has it, just don't know. But yeah, I'm very like, yep, let me know if you want to go out. If that's a deal breaker, yeah. Cool.
Right.
Like, I'm not going
to. This dovetails really nicely, Allie, with what we talked about last week, where somebody, to give, I'll probably edit this out, but to give you some context, Erica, somebody wrote in saying, like, how do you bring up things that are probably like red flags about yourself? And for hers, it was, I'm sober. I've suffered from depression in the past. I have some financial like difficulties, stuff like that, whatever. And what we discussed last week was so much of this is about like making peace with things yourself, because then you can handle whatever reaction comes at you. Mm-hmm. And you can allow like, allow a man to fuck it up. Give him the space to like not be the right guy. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, stand confident in who you are, that you know you're good and everything is fine. And if he steps up to what you deserve, amazing. And if he doesn't, out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People mirror your attitude about stuff. And it's easier said than done to just have a good attitude or be positive or be confident about it. But like, yeah, I'm at the point now that it's just like, oh, you don't know about herpes? Yeah, it's nothing. Like, that's my vibe.
Use Google, motherfucker.
Yeah. And people are kind of like, oh, all right. Like, yeah. But I mean, for the most part, I've had people be like, wow, that's really cool that you talk about that, because most people know at least one person that does have it. At least now. I found more people are being public about it, which is nice.
Yeah.
There's one very specific question.
What's that?
Can you get herpes by going down on somebody who has it?
You technically can, yes. It is very, it's very hard to transmit it. Like, it's easier to transmit it, like, if you have it orally and you go down on someone, giving it to them, as opposed to you go down on someone and then you get it on your mouth, especially if it's type 2. Not that it's not possible. There's a chart, literally Google herpes transmission rate chart, medical textbook. And unfortunately, it is a study between heterosexual couples, so I'm sorry, everybody. But there are a few stats for homosexual relationships. And it literally breaks down by percentage, like, if you're on meds, if you use a condom, if you don't use a condom.
Damn.
Oral, oh, wow. Regular intercourse. So essentially, I believe it is 1%. There's a 1% chance of passing it on if you are on meds and using a condom in heterosexual relationships. But then no condom, it only jumps to 2%. Like, it's not.
So a condom's not doing much
a huge
for us.
Jump if you're on the antiviral meds. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's not me saying don't use condoms, by the way.
Of course not. No, of course.
The official Finding Misery Heights stance.
Yeah.
Clip this, Allie. This will be great.
Yeah.
Perfect video, it's like clip, with just all... that one part.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically like with every scenario, like, can I get it by going down? Can I get it through anal? Can I get it through scissoring? Like, technically the answer is always yes. There's
sure.
There's never a 0% chance. It's like, we're all on birth control, and what's the percentage? There's a 1% chance you get pregnant. The IUD, the pill, all that stuff. If anything, I tried to the very first time I disclosed, I tried to use that stat to like help me look better. Like, I was like, there's only a 1% chance you're gonna get it, kind of like how I'm on the pill or we use a condom, and there's a 1% chance I get pregnant. And I was like, so it's now it's like we're even.
Oh no,
oops.
And men could not handle the like fact that there was a chance.
Oh no, he's like, wait a minute, I might get herpes and you might get pregnant? This is not happening.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, it's so interesting to me that people are often, men in particular, are so much more afraid of pregnancy than STIs.
Yeah, when I told the guy that gave it to me, I was very like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I met him, and then
it wasn't a baby?
He immediately... He goes, oh my God, I thought you were pregnant. And I was like, we had sex a week ago. I was like, I wouldn't know yet. I wouldn't know now.
I still could be pregnant. So I'll let you know.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I had a guy guess that I was being weird. If I was like, I need to tell you something. And he first was like, what are you on your period? I don't care. And I was like, no. And then he was like, what are you pregnant? I'm like, why is that always the next thing?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so true, Rourke, though, because I've had guys like in the past ask me like, oh, are you on birth control? And I'll be like, yes, but that's not the only reason we use those.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
there's a whole lot of other stuff that makes those good things to do.
Oh, yeah. It's like I'm on the antiviral meds or whatever or not. And I've had people that they also have herpes, like on a dating app or something, or it just comes up and they're just like, oh, you have it? I have it too. And then they're kind of like, so want to get out of here? It's like, that doesn't mean I'm going to sleep with you just because we both have it.
Right.
Like it's just like, oh, okay, it's something we both don't have to worry about, but it doesn't mean like, check, please.
Right.
Let's move it, you know?
Found my guy.
Yeah. Can I share a mistake a lot of people do?
Please.
When oh, yeah.
Get it? So me personally, and I found through the group I run, pretty much everyone that has gotten herpes has said they stayed with the person that gave it to them just because they were afraid of like getting back out there.
Oh.
Whether that person was treating them nicely or not. I definitely made that mistake. If I stayed seeing that guy, I knew he was like cheating and seeing other people, and I just stayed around just because I was so afraid of like having to go out there and just like deal with this in dating. And not only that, but a year later, I went back to that person. And that is the number one mistake I hear so many people make, of both the person that gave it to them or also just, oh, I'm dating someone, they're cool with herpes. And that next person, then they stay with.
Yeah.
And what sucks is a lot of times it's because you'll have people in your ear kind of being like, well, but he is cool about like the herpes thing. And that's really nice. And it's like, yeah, it's like once that convo's done and the other person's cool with it, it's not, it shouldn't be held over your head for yourself, or they shouldn't be holding it over your head for sure.
Yeah, no.
Right.
But it's like, I've had that thought of, it's just like, oh man, I have to start over in dating in general, which sucks, but also like, disclosing. And it's like, you can't tell people what to do, and it's very common that people make that mistake. But I'm like, man, if anyone's listening right now that's like, you know, you're only with this person because they're okay with herpes, it's like, that's not the person for you. And there will be plenty of people that are cool about it.
Yeah,
that's thank you for organically thinking to share that was a great point.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and it's very similar, like you said, in terms of the reason that people are afraid to break up with someone that's not right for them in the first place, like getting back out there, having to start over, having to like, you know, somebody else has to accept all of the stuff about me all over again.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that, and I once had a friend be like, man, you know, don't worry about it, Erica. I'm sure you'll find someone else that has herpes.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah,
not supportive.
I don't have to date another person with herpes. Like, that would be like if I told you I had diabetes and you were like, I mean, don't worry, you will find someone else with diabetes. Like, it's like, I don't have to date in a certain pool. Like,
right.
That's another thought you have sometimes. It's like, should I only date on these sites that it's only other people with herpes? And I'm almost like stubborn about it, where I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna get a non-herpes man just to prove all of you that I don't have to date in this herpes
take
pool.
One of yours.
And I can date outside of it. Yeah. that's just, you know, how my brain works sometimes. But yeah, I've had people say that, and they like mean well, of just like, well, it's so common, I'm sure, you know. And that is the jackpot, is when you disclose and they go, oh, I have it too. And it's like, oh, wow, I just won the lottery. Okay. You're like, all right, next question.
And I liked you already.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I think it sounds like from the questions that we got that there are several people who said that like this couldn't be more well-timed. So I think that this is going to be super helpful for people. And thank you for being so open and and providing so much like
absolutely
really practical advice of like, here's what you do.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny that like every time I do a podcast, you guys will probably get a review from someone who, quote, works in the medical field of some kind, and they'll be like, this girl's talking about herpes like it's not a big deal. And I'm always like, yeah, because it's not.
What are they getting?
It doesn't
out
affect
of
your health negatively. I don't know, but I'm just fair warning you that you're going to be getting some messages, or someone listening right now. I'm kind of like, fuck you. It's, yeah, I talk about it because it's not a big deal. Because right. It's not.
Because it's not.
And like you said, it affects your mental health more than your physical health. It only can affect your health if you have it, you have an outbreak, and you don't get it treated. So let me just clarify that. Great. But obviously, so, I don't think people are walking around with outbreaks like, I'll just tough it out. Like, they're not fun. But yeah, thank you so much for having me on. This has been so fun.
Yeah. And Erica.
No, thank you. This was great.
Amazing. Yeah. And can you let our listeners know where to find you? And also the support group that you mentioned. Also, we can put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So the support group, if you don't want to join the meetup group, it is private, so no one can see you're in it. But you can email me. It's herpesgroupnyc@gmail.com. We originally were just an NYC-based one, but with the pandemic, now we're virtual. Mm-hmm. So people join from all over the U.S. I've had people join from other countries, which is kind of great and helps you just meet other people maybe that are in your area. If you need like a herpes friend, just someone to talk to.
Have people ever fallen in love?
No, but it is co-ed that I have had people message me being like, hey, would it be okay if I like message, you know, this person from group and ask them if they like want to get a drink or something?
Oh my
and
God.
I'm like, listen, I know. And I'm like, look, I'm all for shooting your shot, but I always just say, I'm like, just be respectful if they decline.
Yep.
Yeah.
And don't make it weird. I was like, if it gets back to me that you're harassing this person, I will kick you out the group. Like,
yeah,
totally fair.
I don't care. But, yeah, so you can email herpesgroupnyc@gmail.com. It's open to everyone. Or if you go to my Instagram, the link's in my bio for like the meetup group if you want to join there. Or just send me a DM. And you can find me at Sperica, which is Sperica. And my podcast is Shooters Gotta Shoot, which is at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod.
Amazing.
And Allie's episode is number 116 if you want to hear Allie. We talk about online.
Nice. Football.
Yeah.
Love the plug.
And we have to have you on, Rourke, soon.
Yeah, we'll have to get together. And also, Erica, earlier in this episode, we launched our first sponsor, which we have you to thank for. Thank you for introducing us to Sunset Lake.
Oh, hell yeah. Sunset Lake CBD. They're the best.
Yeah.
What's your promo code? Can you say it again?
FMH20.
FMH20. Yeah, they're the best. They're the nicest. The packages are like the cutest. Definitely support Sunset Lake CBD. They're great.
Amazing. I told them that like it's like this is perfect. We're gonna do our first ad during the episode where somebody else that you sponsor is on, and he was pumped. He's like, Erica's my girl, I love her.
Yeah.
He was very cute.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah. So they just got an extra little free promo. So you're welcome.
Yeah, I was gonna say a little cross promo. I love it.
I know.
A little extra. But Erica, thank you again. This was amazing.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
You guys have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.